Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a rundown of the tight end position here on the NFL post week 14. And just some things here. I do have a bigger piece that I want to do on Kyle Pitts, because I think it's actually pretty interesting in terms of where he fits in at the position. Some of his priors, you would think, like, with his production, like, it's really, really good. And it is, like, totally is. But in terms of predictiveness, I actually have some interesting questions you could look forward and sort of look forward at him while looking back at some of the other guys who've comp similarly to him. I think it's an interesting exercise that I'll probably go through here at some point as the season's winding up. So be on the lookout for that. Notably, and one of the inspirations for this was that Hayden Hurst returned. So 62% snap share to 54% for Kyle Pitts. I was like, well, wait a second. But 13 routes for Hurst, 22 for Pitts. It's really Hurst doing some of the blocking work. Hurst goes one target, one reception, 3 yards. Six targets, five receptions, 61 yards for Pitts. That's ultimately it. By the way, if you ranked, I'll just leave this here really quick. If you ranked the yards per route run the four seasons of Mark Andrews' career, so this is year four. If you ranked him in terms of yards per route run with Kyle Pitts' rookie season, every one of Mark Andrews' seasons is better. So I'll just leave that there. It's a really interesting comp, and I'm going to be fascinated by how these guys sort out in the offseason, because I know how it's going to be, but it's really interesting in terms of, you know, we had this discussion in the Analyst Dynasty chat, so if you're not in there, another pitch to get in there, but it's a really interesting, it's going to be a really interesting time in the offseason about how you potentially arbitrage those guys. All right, Dawson Knox, 40 catches, 489, and 8 touchdowns, 10.4 points per game. That's tight end 6 in the season, tight end 6 in points per game. I don't feel super confident that he's going to repeat this next year, but I think you put him in your lineup and play him, because he's kind of doing this production thing. And do I think it's totally repeatable? No, but if he goes 700 yards and 9 touchdowns, like, yeah, you totally take that. All right, Carolina, there's been a Tommy Tremble uptick. So through 12 weeks, Ian Thomas, 217 terrible routes, 20 targets, 13 receptions, 146 yards. That's 0.67 yards per route run. Tommy Tremble, 175, and they basically had the same performance. 20 targets, 13 receptions, 120 yards. It's 0.69 yards per route run. So again, you see an advantage for Ian Thomas over Tommy Tremble this week. 20 routes for Tommy Tremble, 13 for Ian Thomas. So I don't know what it means in terms of, like, difference making, but I will say this: if Tommy Tremble's available, I think you go take a shot and stash him, right? Because I think things could be turning in his way. That I think it's interesting. So, again, maybe if you're in a shallower league, listen, if you're cutting kicker defense, right, he's one. I think you do that. Maybe in tight end premium, he's probably already rostered. But, I would make sure and just check, because he's not a name that's been front of mind. Komet, 1.18 yards per route run on the season. He's 32 routes this past week for 11 for Graham. That's pretty consistent with what they've done in the season. Graham actually played pretty well in this past game. Komet just kind of blends in, which is fine. Like, you can sort of back your way into a tight end one season doing that, but it's not super valuable. I think the biggest takeaway from CJ Uzomah with Cincinnati, he's having a career year coming off an Achilles injury. I don't know. It'd be interesting. You know, we looked at, like, a comp of 10 guys that had done it at the running back position. And we have all this evidence of all these other guys at all these other positions and all the other sports that are recovering from this injury. I think we have to change our priors on the injury. So we'll see. That's not saying that Cam Akers is going to come back and be a Jonathan Taylor or anything like that. But I do think, like, we should probably change our priors on that. All right. Austin Hooper in a huge week without Bryant or Njoku. He goes 6 targets, 5 receptions, 30 yards, and a touchdown. Really good performance there. Again, both these guys could miss another week. I think Hooper, tight end 2, he's probably a tight end 2 range any time. And again, there's not enough threats around the offense that even when the tight ends are out, like, you can play Hooper. And again, like, that, just think of that performance as basically That's 19 points and in tight end premium, right? So good performance there for him. Again, I wouldn't run away from playing him in those formats. Like, he's probably flex consideration just because or a fringe tight end one consideration, just because there's going to be volume going his way because this offense isn't very good with the exception of him and Jarvis Landry, and the guys who are injured. Dalton Schultz, a downtick in this game, but still good. He's holding up on route volume. I'm not worried about it. Same range you're playing in him in any other week. Notably, Lamb, and I'll do a receiver section, its own podcast, but Lamb actually downticked in routes with Cooper and Gallup back healthy, reverting back to our priors from last year. Interesting there. 14 routes for Albert O. 5 targets, 4 catches. And, 5 receptions, 41 yards, and 1 touchdown. Sorry, I made a mistake there. 4 for 51 for Fant as well. So, good uptick for Albert O in terms of he had 25 routes his prior 2 games to 49 for Fant. So when you look and you're sort of thinking, all right, like, oh, this is just a, like, he's just basically another guy. Well, he's actually increasing a little bit, and he's actually been pretty good. So I don't know, all told, what the future of this tight end core is going to look like. But Albert O is performing pretty well, and they're both north of 2.9 yards per route run this week. 2.9 for Albert O, 3 for Fant. Fant, no touchdown. Albert O, a touchdown. So big difference there in terms of points. But I think it's interesting how this offense that has a lot of different answers, so it's interesting. With Hockenson out, not a great answer. Shane Zeitstra gets 4 targets, 2 receptions, 18 yards on 24 routes. Brock Wright, 5 targets, 3 receptions, 20 yards on 15 targets. I don't think you're playing either one of them. Mercedes Lewis is one of the best graded tight ends on the week. 4 catches on 4 targets, 51 yards on 13 routes. Josiah DeGar, actually an uptick here, so this is a notable one, a guy that's in our ecosphere. 3 catches, 44 yards, 25 routes. So interesting there, again, some development for him. Jordan Akins is a cut in Houston. He's 1 target, 9 routes, playing well behind Brevin Jordan in terms of 23 routes. He goes 6 for 4. And 26 yards and a touchdown. So pretty decent there. Again, he's more developmental track than I do feel confident playing him in this offense. James O'Shaughnessy, so Oshaq Hennessy, 6 targets, 4 catches, 21 yards on 30 routes. So actually, if you break it down, it's a 20% of his routes he was targeted on. That's actually really good. Again, it's not super productive, but you get the idea. This offense, not very good. Kelsey's at 1.45 yards per route run over the past 4 games. He's very much blending in. I wrote about him in the Football Guys Dynasty Value Movement piece I do every other week. He's going to basically be he should probably be a mid tight end one in terms of valuation next year, and I think he's a smash at that cost because he has upside to produce, and there's virtually no risk at that cost either. So that would sort of be my quick elevator pitch for where he's at. Foster Moreau is disappointed. 42 routes, 13 yards this week, a sub 44 PFF grade, so just not great. And this opportunity to fill in for Waller there. Jared Cook, 24 routes to 8 for Donald Parham. Cook finds himself 5 targets on 24 routes, 2 receptions, 8 yards, and a touchdown. Parham goes 2 targets, 2 receptions, 13 yards. And I think I mentioned this, 8 routes. So you sort of get 3-1 for Cook over Parham. Miami's on a bye. Just watch Gesicki extension news here on this bye week. Just be paying attention to that. But otherwise, no news. Conklin, 1.74 yards per route run on 27 routes. He hasn't done a whole lot over the past, like, it's the last 4 weeks or so. He's at, like, 1.23 yards per hour. Like, it's fine. Yeah, it's 14 catches, 136. I think that's over the past four games. So it's okay. I was hoping for more with Adam Thielen out, but you're probably playing him matchups in tight end two type range. Patriots on a bye. We kind of know what their situation is. It's Henry over Jonnu Smith. Generally, but you could probably play them both in a tight end two type landscape. Tight end two ranges from like tight end eight to tight end 30. So that's just kind of where these guys all operate. Nick Vinette is an interesting ad guy here. So he runs 21 routes, 44 yards. So that's good. Hashtag good. Five targets, three receptions. Juwan Johnson, only 10 routes. So Vinette clearly over Juwan Johnson in the Adam Trautman being out phase of the Saints tight end game. The New York Giants, 31 routes for Evan Ingram, four targets, one reception, 8 yards. Just a dismal performance this year for Evan Ingram. Ryan Griffin for the Jets. He has three targets on two receptions, 28 yards, 15 routes. You think, okay, well, hey, that's actually pretty good. 2.87 yards per route run. Like, that's okay. Problem? 49 dropbacks. So he's being targeted, you know, less than – he's running basically less than – a third of dropbacks he's running around, and it's just not something you can trust at all. So total avoid situation there. Pat Freiermuth is very touchdown dependent. His yards per route run is pretty weak. It's 1.25 on the season. You know, he's going to hit, so he'll be on the good side of that. But I would sort of consider him like a flip guy, and especially you're going to go through a change in the offense. Like, I would definitely uptick. You know, I'm looking for ways to shoot higher at the position probably than him, and that would be something I'm looking to do probably early on in the offseason. George Kittle is an absolute monster. Should really be how we do all tight end positions. Like, I have a piece on, like I mentioned, on Pitts that I'm going to do, but featured prominently in that is how damn good Kittle is. Since week 9, he's got the best PFF grade, 3.27 yards per route run, and that's behind only Kyle Rudolph, interestingly enough, with 11 targets during that time. So small sample size there for Rudolph, but you get the idea. An elite performance there for Kittle. 47 targets, second behind Andrews during that time. 530 yards, it's 120 yards more than Andrews. Chew that on for size, and he's by far the number one at the position during that time. Six touchdowns, the best. He's an absolute monster. When you look at every single, like, if George Kittle were to ever put together a healthy season and he got good touchdown variance, like, he might put together the best touchdown, he might put together the best tight end season ever. Like, if you said one person that's alive right now puts together the best, like, going forward, puts together the best tight end season ever, it's, my bet would be George Kittle. I think a lot of people would take Pitts. I would take Kittle, because when you look at his stats, by any measure, I think he's got, since 2018, again, I'll touch on it in the Pitts piece, but he has basically all of the yards per route run champion belts. Like, he's a remarkable player. Just needs to stay healthy and honestly get, you know, sufficient volume and some touchdown luck. Seattle, Disley and Everett are closing in together. So 19 routes this past week for Everett, 13 for Disley. The prior three, it was 76 for Everett, 32 for Disley. So again, that's squeezing together. I don't think you trust either one of them, but listen, if something were to happen to Everett, maybe you feel a little bit better about Disley. He's probably been performing better than Everett on smaller sample size. Gronk has been targeted on 24% of his routes in the last four games at 2.23 yards per route run, smashing tight end one. I know Matt, subscriber Matt, who had done a trade show with me earlier on in the offseason, early on in the regular season, I should say, it was actually on during the season, traded a second for him in a tight end premium in a two tight end league. He asked if I should go first. He got to kind of win for that to pay for itself. You get a second. It's all gravy from there. Like, you give that. Yes, take it. Take my pick. Smash that. I love that. Love that trade. All right, and lastly, in a situation I think a lot of us were keeping an eye on, just because the tight end premium degenerates amongst us, I included. That's not an insult. That is absolutely an admission. 27 routes for John Bates, 17 for Ricky Seals-Jones. Neither of them performed particularly well, and that was a situation I think we were hoping to get a little bit of respite from, maybe some flex play in some of these tight end premium leagues. Not so lucky. So don't feel great about that one down the stretch with the two of those guys playing. If either one of them is out, I think you feel a little bit better. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Ricky Seals-Jones was out. John Bates could potentially be auditioning for a job next year. So I'm definitely watching that one down the stretch and any injury there. Ricky Seals-Jones is banged up a bit, but you don't feel great about starting either one of those guys. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.